Y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
One, two, three.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling Stones of the Raptor, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that. Daddy got nothing to do with rap. Check the facts, expose those cats. Who pose as heroes, take advantage of blacks. Your government's gangsters, so cut the crap. A war going on, so where y'all at?
This is Miguel and Holly Uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller. That is Miss Holly O'Connor.
Hi.
And we have a very special guest today. His name was Mr. Dimples. Now it's just Justin.
Just Justin.
Hi.
Just Justin.
Man, hi.
Hi.
How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm just smiling from ear to ear to show off these dimples.
Well, we said for the longest time that we wanted to do a podcast and we wanted to get you, we wanted to get my boyfriend on here. I mean, I think even like before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And the original plan was to do it during Thanksgiving break, but then all the stuff with your mom happened.
That's when all hell broke loose in life.
It did.
My mom's tumor, and like really that just overshadowed everything.
It did. So everything just sort of came to a screeching halt. And then my boyfriend, his schedule is just so insane.
Yeah.
Like it's just impossible to try to pin down a time for anything, basically.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but he was nervous.
He was. He was very nervous. But I think with him, once he... Like, the thought of being on the radio like this is intimidating if you've never done it.
Yeah.
Because you're like, what am I going to say?
What?
How do I do it?
Yeah.
But then once you get into a studio and you sort of relax, like, literally, the past 30 minutes, I've been brooding because I'm hungry
I know.
I'm tired and we had a long day doing stuff.
You had your stank face on.
Yeah. But then as soon as the mics come on, I'm like, oh, this is my happy place. This is where I'm great.
You're still hungry.
I'm still hungry. Yeah. But now it's sort of like in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Well, Justin, how does it feel to be back in the studio and chatting? Because you used to do radio.
Yes, it feels amazing. It's like riding a bike.
Oh, and does it feel comfortable?
It does. It does. I'm very comfortable with you two.
I love that. Now,
a little too comfortable.
I don't know. I'm nervous. I was going to save this for the podcast, but like as soon as he walked in the building, I got nervous.
Why? Like, what are you? You've had nervous energy the whole morning.
I know.
Like the latter half of the morning. What makes you so nervous about having Justin on the podcast?
Just let that shit loose, girl. Come on. I host an uncensored podcast too.
I know. And I just think it's because I like you so much, so that when I saw you like in my workplace, I just got really excited. I know that's so dumb.
No, not at all. You're like, hi, I love you.
I know. I'm like, this is my work and you're here in my work. Hi, you're in my work. Hi.
Oh.
I literally think that's
she's smitten with me.
Okay. Not now after you said that.
Oh, come on.
I'm very smitten.
Okay,
well,
good.
Now you know that I feel like in most relationships, there's always someone who loves the other person a little bit more.
Oh, Miguel.
No.
So, well, what did you think this was? We were just going to sit around and be like,
we got to get to the bottom of things here.
We're going to shoot the shit.
No, absolutely. Do I look like a person that has ever in your life just sit around and chat? No, there's always something going on.
Yeah.
So, in this relationship, who is the person that loves the other person a little bit more? Now, I will say, I do think that flip-flops.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'll happen for a few months, and then life happens, and then the other person will. And I think that you sort of trade spots as you continue to grow and get to know each other. And just as life happens, you know?
Yeah. I think that's accurate. I think that it flip-flops.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes we're on the exact same page.
Right.
But then sometimes I feel like one time a few months ago, we had a conversation where I was like, I love you so much. And I feel like, what if you don't love me that much?
Mm.
And I was like, how much is that?
I don't
know. That seems like a lot.
That's a lot of love.
That's when I was like, all right, well, then she loves me more right now. But I mean,
well,
I know that.
Because you said, welcome to what I feel like. But then I think you stopped feeling like that.
Oh, come on.
Not like forever. Oh. In that moment. I think it flip-flops, don't you?
Absolutely. I think it started, I would say that I was pretty smitten with you at first.
Yes.
And then once that switch flipped for you, I mean,
was it intense?
I had you.
Oh, he said I had you in the bag.
Yeah, no, he does though.
Now, did you see that flip happen, Justin? Or was it something that you just felt over time? Or did you one day say, okay, I think I got this girl?
No, I think it was gradual over time. We went to see you two 10 months ago.
It was like June or July of last year.
So we went to see you two. I thought that was a big moment for me.
Why?
I don't know. Just being out with her, seeing the joy in her face, knowing that we were there at a concert together, a concert that she had wanted to see for a long, long time, telling me that she was going to go see it with her dad, and then she didn't, and this was what like one of our first dates.
This was one of the first dates. And then like
and it freaked her out.
Because he bought the tickets. Like
Wait, hold on. Back us up here.
Yeah, we're jumping all over the place.
Wait. Okay. I need a nice timeline.
Okay.
So what date was this? Like, so this wasn't like y'all had been dating for 3 months and then you saw this monumental concert together.
No. Well, yes, but keep in mind you want to buy tickets for such a concert in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So like the concert itself happened after April, May. So maybe like at the 3 month mark ish,
mm-hmm.
3-4 months. But he bought the tickets like the 4th week we were dating, or maybe like the 3rd week that we had been out on dates. And the concert was still like 2 months away.
Well, you had mentioned it to me. And then you had told me the story about your dad. And I was just like, well, why don't we just go? And I think you were a little taken back by that, by somebody thinking that forward.
Yeah.
As I was.
Well, that's
but
when
I was just,
like.
And I mean, this is uncensored. I just thought, I'll just buy the tickets. And if it didn't work out with us, then I'll have 2 tickets to go see you too. So, I mean,
great.
It was fine. It was
great.
Fine. But that night, and I think we should go through the timeline, as Miguel said, because, I mean, our first date, you guys do Blown Off, right? All the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like our first date was 3.5 hours of us sitting at a table and just, it was a nonstop conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to get to, we could get to that in a moment. But that U2 concert for me was, it just brought it all together. It took my feelings for you to the next level. Then we ended up going, you took me to Cleveland to meet your entire family,
what?
Which was like a month later.
Yeah, I know.
And that was when we shared the word love for the first time to each other. So
now I do have to ask this. As I'm listening to you two tell the story, also knowing the backstory that at the time you were still sort of separating or going through a divorce.
True.
Now, did that scare you at the time? Because, I mean, clearly you were making some thoughts about the future, about what could happen, while you're still trying to sort of end something that you had been in for a while.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to get too in-depth on that. There was, we had gone our separate ways. We had realized we really didn't have anything in common. And it had started down that path, I think, a lot longer before than maybe we had admitted to each other. And so once we had made that decision, it wasn't like a shock for me. It was just like, oh, then all of a sudden, you know, months go by and I end up going on the first date with Holly. And it was, God, we clicked so much. We had so much in common. We had similar senses of humor. We had similar personalities. It was pretty surreal at the moment. But again, first date. So then you start going on more and more dates and you realize this is a person that I'm not just attracted to physically, but like she's starting to really grasp a hold of my emotions and my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, that just takes it to another level.
Now, help me understand, and we don't have to obviously go into like the specifics of, you know, the previous situation you were in and whatnot, but like, can you help us understand like where your mind was at the time when you two were going on this first date? Were you just like, hey, this is going to be a new friend, a conversation, a hookup? Where was your mind at the time?
That's an interesting question. I don't ever think that I've asked this question. I think you should say that you were not really in a great place before that.
No, I mean, I wasn't. And, you know, I was very lonely. Holly messaged me on Facebook. So I came from a relationship where I was in radio and I was very out there, but I also was very respectful of the person that I was with, and she wasn't really that type of person, being out there, social media and everything. So I really didn't, the most I had was Twitter, and I really didn't have anything else. So once, this was like my coming out party, it's like, oh, once that was done, I'm getting Facebook, I'm getting Instagram, yes! I'm getting it all. I want to know what is out there. What have I been missing in the social media world? So I'm on Facebook, so I'm just, I mean, somebody who's never had Facebook before. Really. I really didn't use Facebook
and
at all.
How old are you?
36.
Okay, just 36. For the record,
I'm 2 weeks older than you.
You're still older than me, and it's 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
But anyway, I just was, you, for posterity, I mean, you had been your whole life without Facebook. I mean, a lot of us.
And being a public figure.
Right, who were even late to the game. Like, Miguel had to drag me kicking and screaming onto Facebook, and that was in 09.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've been on Facebook for a decade, almost,
mm-hmm.
and then Instagram comes and Twitter and Snapchat, and you literally just jumped in last year.
Yeah, so what I did was, you know, all you hear about people talking about Facebook and all this shit, so I'm like, I'm just going to friend as many people as possible. So I'm just going through, I'm searching people that I went to high school with, that I worked with, that I might know. Well, Holly's name was one of them. I knew her because we know people in the industry. And you saw that I sent you a friend request, and typical Holly fashion, you had to completely analyze the entire situation. Why is he sending me a friend request?
Well, I look at all my friend requests because I don't add people I don't know anymore, just because it's a lot of crazy people out there.
You have a kid.
That was my main thing. Yeah. And when we moved to Tampa, I accepted every Panama City person that came my way.
Mm-hmm.
When we moved to Tampa, it came up on my Facebook memories. I made a post that was like, hey, I'm not going to be, you know, accepting friend requests on this personal page anymore unless I know you in person, or you're like somebody that I would work with in the industry,
mm-hmm.
because of my kid, because I don't want you getting that close to her and whatever. So I kind of shut that down. And then I also said I was going to start like calling because I have a lot of random people that I don't know on my Facebook. So anytime someone friend requests me, especially if we have friends in common, I'm like, okay, well, this person I need to investigate a little closer.
Mm.
If I have like no friends in common or one, chances are I'm not going to add them.
Or if they have a horse as their profile picture.
Correct.
And cats, and you don't know what they look like.
Yeah. Or if it's just like a quote and I'm like, that's trouble. Nope.
Barbasu, who are you and why is that cat with the ribbon around
half
it your profile picture? Why?
Half the time, a lot of Panama City people will still add me and I'm like, why?
They love you, Holly.
They don't remember
me. You're very popular.
They do. Holly, I literally had a girl send me a message, or maybe it was to the Miguel and Holly page. She lives in Panama City, never been to Tampa, but she still listens to this podcast, and she listens to our show podcast every day.
Oh, well, who knew? I just figured that they were going through people you may know
mm-hmm.
on Facebook. Anyway, so he comes across my plate, and at first, this is always what usually gets me on social media. So I'm like, oh, he's kind of cute. And I'm like, hold on.
Oh, hi.
Hold on. Let me see. Because we had friends in common. And I have to see who these friends in common. This is how I do things.
Mm-hmm.
So I look. And if it's all Panama City people in common, I'm like, probably not. Because I'm never going to cross paths with you. So, but no, it was actually people that I know here in Tampa. And it's not just people here. It's like all the radio people I know.
Mm.
And so I'm like, Okay, hold on a minute. So obviously I must know this person, right? Because I know radio people. So then I have to start clicking around deeper. And I'm like, okay, so he used to work for CBS.
Yes.
And that's when I realized that Miguel, after the station that we were on flipped, it turned into a sports station.
Mm-hmm.
That was what he worked for. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this bitch.
Get the fuck out of my station. Yeah.
So then I was like, okay. So, and then I'm like going through the rest of his stuff, and it was not clear as to whether or not he was married. Because that's the first thing, as a single person, you're like, well, is this person married? Do I have a chance with him? Like,
is he gay?
Right. So I didn't know. I wasn't clear whether he was married. I think it said interested in women, so I knew he wasn't gay, but I didn't know if he was like married, single, relationship. And then it was like Catholic, and I'm like, I'm Catholic. So we have that in common, and we have radio in common, and like I'm already in my head being like, this is wait, just accept the friend request. And I was like, that was it. So I accepted it. And then in my head, I thought that I waited like a good, respectable week or two. Come to find out, it was the next day
I
sent him a message.
Of course.
I guess I kept thinking about it maybe over the course of that day. So then
we had, so you accepted it on a Saturday.
Yes.
We were both in downtown. So I mean, wasn't going out that much. Friends of mine were going out to downtown St. Pete that night. We were both down in downtown St. Pete.
But different places. Like, I
did
was
you see
at,
each
like,
other?
No. Like, next door.
Yeah.
You were at Janice, and I was at, like, Yard, right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Because the next day when I messaged him, which with the opening line was, like, about the former radio stations that we had in common.
Mm-hmm. It was a good opening line.
It was good. And then I read it back every now and then, and I'm like, he was in a dark place, because it just seemed like he was like, stop bothering me.
What did you say?
What did I say?
I'll like, what did Holly say, and then what did you respond with, Justin?
I'll pull it up. I'll pull the tape.
Pull it!
But anyway, I was at Janice the previous night for some hippie 97X band, and he was with his friends, and he's like, oh, that would have been crazy if we would have seen each other. And I was like, no, because we would have both been drunk, and that would not have been a good first meeting.
I mean, it probably would have been a hookup from the very beginning.
Because she was already into me.
You would have started with a bang. Hey.
Okay, so my first message was, somehow.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
Somehow I never realized that when you took over on 98.7, when we left, small world, smiley face, hashtag RIP 987.
I've been really trying.
I was like, she wants a dick.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, clearly, if you put a smiley face, that means you're ready to get dicked out.
Excuse me. It was the opening salvo of like, who are you? How is this man going to respond? So he responds, I didn't even know you were on it before us. Our sports station was horribly run.
Oh,
at least things worked out awesome for you in the end.
Oh.
So then
I was in a dark place.
I clearly took no mind of that tone. And
now, granted, let me preface this by saying she takes every one of my recent texts in the worst tone possible, but that was actually in a bad tone.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, he wants to talk.
Yeah, I don't know why that happened.
That's because when you are in love, you are more critical of the text, whereas then all you can see are butterflies in the future and sunshine and possibility.
Well, I know now sometimes that he gets in his moods, and then I'm like, oh, God, it was a bad text.
Back then, you didn't know. You were like, oh, look at that. He responded.
I know. And so he responded. And so then, of course, listen to me trying over here. I go, yes, definitely,
!!
Oh, my God.
It didn't feel like it at the time. Oh, the stories of Play 98.7 and how that all went before it flipped to the fan. I'll have to fill you in one day, smiley face.
Oh.
I'm so glad to be at hot now, though. I'm sorry. I was coming on pretty hard. I'll have to fill you in someday.
Oh, wow.
Did you know she was coming on that hard when you read that, or were you in such a dark place that you didn't even, like, see that it was happening?
I honestly think that message, I was like, fill me in someday. You can fill me in right now.
Okay,
yes. And then I'll fill you in.
Oh!
Well, I feel like that's when it did switch. Because, oh, God. I think I'm accidentally calling you. Sorry.
Oh, hello?
I think it's when it did switch. Because after that, you go, I can't wait to hear those stories.
Mm. See? Yes.
And then you
that
told
was
me
my way
thing.
Of saying, I'm ready.
Okay.
He's like, I'm open and ready to receive you.
Yeah. So then we just talked about our former radio stations for a while.
So then how long did it take between those messages before the first date?
We messaged for a week.
We messaged all that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
It was pretty nonstop,
yeah,
too. The conversation kept going.
And then, but what was... I've read this over several times because I'm, you know, compulsive.
Oh, boy.
What happened was, like, we broke off in the afternoon and I was like, I think you gave me your number because you're like, maybe we should just text instead of being on Facebook Messenger.
Get them digits, girl.
So I was like, okay. And, I think you were like, I
you think or you've
no,
memorized?
I don't remember. I want to come look at it now. Hold on. Okay, so this was at, like, we signed off, whatever. How do I get it to?
Signed off.
Oh, like at 3:19 p.m. And then at 8:10 p.m. is when you go, I usually record my podcast on Sunday nights. I know you also get up early, so I'm guessing you don't stay up too late. I'll gladly record my podcast later if you want to chat more now.
Yeah.
Text me if you want. Might be better than messaging here. And so I'm sure I texted you
that. How good was that?
Yeah.
Man, I'm very impressed with myself.
Isn't it great when you look back on the situation and you are sort of like, look at me. I knew what the fuck I was doing.
I know.
Did you?
No.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
No, because I'm never really that forward. And I was forward enough to pretty much ask you out.
Yes. In that message.
In the message.
He asked me out that message on that Sunday because I was...
You were like something like, oh, the dating world is so crazy. And I was like, well, maybe you can show me how crazy it is sometime.
Hey.
And I was like, do you want me to date and report back to you or are you asking me out?
Yeah, of course she's got to dig in.
Well, you want to know. You want to be very clear.
I didn't want to assume that I had just been asked out because God knows what happened. Like,
well, that
tricked.
Was one of my big things when you were single and dating, Holly, is I said, you always need to make sure you know what's going on. That, like, whole, like, we don't need labels. We don't need to know. No.
Yeah.
I need to know exactly what's going on because if I don't know, that's when my feelings get hurt.
Right. And so Miguel was always like, is it a date? Are you hanging out? What are you doing? So that's why I was kind of like in my head, like, wait, is this actually asking me out or is he just being like.
And I said, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm asking you out.
And then
let's go.
We agreed to go on a date the following weekend.
Yes.
So that first date, y'all talk. Y'all chat, you get to know each other.
I took a half day from work just to go out on a date with this girl.
Yeah. Now, after all that, did y'all do it on the first date?
Not the first date.
3.5 hours, we sat there, we talked, we shared stories. It was pretty incredible. She got to double dip the appetizer.
I'm a double dipper.
I thought
you
that
didn't
was
even mine.
No, I didn't. I pretty much was in with that. Then we went to the car and I kissed her.
He did on the first date.
On the lips, on the
mouth. On the lips. Not like no tongue or anything.
There was no tongue.
No.
Now,
it was almost.
No.
It was kind of like a
sensual. Did you lick her lips?
No.
Did you lick her lips?
I wanted to.
Oh. No, but I was really shocked that he leaned in to do it. And then what I was in my head, I was like, I could do that thing where I lean back in and I kiss him a second time. But I was like, I'm not going to do that because
I'm not that type of lady.
You have respect.
I am not that type of lady.
All right. So let's fast forward to the next day.
We decided to go out again the next day.
Oh,
he was like, well, come on, can I see you? And I was like, well, I'm just going to Target to put my Easter stuff together tomorrow. And he's like, can I come? And I was like,
well, here's,
to
all right.
Target?
Okay, well, to preface that,
mm-hmm.
So I was doing stuff with USF football at the time. They had their spring game,
mm-hmm.
So that was during the afternoon. She's doing Target at night or whatever she's going to do, and I'm just like, okay, so I can go do this spring game and then go home and be by myself and be lonely and be miserable, or, hey, can I come with you to Target? I went with her to Target. We had a great time.
Now, was your daughter with you, or was it just you two?
Just us two.
Just the two of you.
Yes.
Now, at that time, because, I mean, that's breaking all sorts of protocol for after a first date, that you
protocol.
Give it some time.
Yeah.
You have to let it breathe.
Yeah.
But like I always say, life is not a movie. It's not a soap opera. Every story is told differently.
Well, and remember, too, I had not dated in 12 years.
So you were ready.
So I didn't know what the protocol was.
And
honestly, maybe that's why it worked out so well, is that we didn't follow the stereotypical protocol.
Yeah.
And we just kind of went with how we felt.
Yeah.
And
It
well,
worked.
I could tell that he liked me, which was nice,
mm-hmm.
because I had just come off of like all this single bullshit of, I don't know if they're going to text me back or get calls, or blah, blah.
It's all been well documented in the Miguel and Holly Uncensored podcast.
Right. I went through a series of not so fortunate, but that's great because it led to this. So when he wanted to hang out with me the next day, I was like, okay, let's.
I legit just wanted to hang out with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we went to Target, and then after we were done shopping, it was still kind of early-ish. I mean, it wasn't late, so it was like, I mean, Target, it was like, what, 30 minutes? So I'm like...
But we had a great time. We were walking around. We were making each other laugh.
He kissed me in Target.
Oh.
I couldn't wait to.
On the second date.
Okay. I couldn't wait to.
Now, was there tongue in this one?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Anyway, I'm like,
patience, Miguel.
Do you want to come back to my house and help me put the Easter stuff together?
Do you want to help me put the Easter eggs into my basket?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I don't know. I literally
she needed
just thought,
eggs in her basket.
I just thought we were having such a good time. I didn't mean anything by it. It just, I felt like from the get-go, I felt so safe and like, okay with him. Like, I wasn't nervous. I just felt like we had already been friends. And so I felt like it was totally acceptable to invite a man that I literally just met the day before to my house.
You were like,
for Easter shit.
You were like, we can go to Wing House or just go back to my house. I was like, let's just go back to your house.
So,
same. I was just thinking, we'll just go back and hang out a little bit, not thinking anything.
It's going to happen.
No. God, second date. Come
so on. Y'all have only connected on Facebook for a week.
Yeah.
You met each other 24 hours prior.
Yeah.
He's walking into your home.
Yes.
That you are there by yourself.
Mm. No.
Oh.
Guess who's in the kitchen?
Hey, Mom.
Mom. Hi, Mom.
So you're bringing a strange man up into your home.
Yes.
Where your mom is.
On a second date. And I'm like, oh, Mom, this is Justin. We went on the date yesterday. She goes, oh, I can see why you like him. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yes, Mama.
So
yes.
She's getting herself some wine. Oh. And I'm like, can you just go upstairs, please? Like,
in her bedrobe and stuff.
So then she shuffles upstairs and I'm like, do you want some of this wine while we put together the Easter stuff? So we had some wine, and then we just talked some more.
Okay, that's great.
Yep.
What really happened?
And then some stuff happened.
What happened?
Well, the basket was done, and that's when the fun began.
Oh.
I've been really trying. Now, obviously, we're not going into explicit details, but was this everything that happened, or was it just some things?
Why are you clutching your pearls right now?
Because I'm really curious.
It was all the things.
Oh!
Let's get it on.
Wow.
Well, okay. So I had two glasses of wine. Mm-hmm. He's had some wine. Mm-hmm. We start making out on the couch. This is the first time we even ever made out. Like, I sound terrible, by the way.
Well, thankfully, the story has ended up like it did.
Yes. So we start making out, and when he, like, leans me down on the couch, he's got fucking moves.
Oh, yes.
So then he goes, are we going to do this? And I was like.
Because I was like, is this really happening? I'm not that type of person either.
Clearly you are.
Apparently you are.
We're just a couple of sluts.
So I was like, I mean, we have to go to the bedroom if we are.
And I said, okay.
And he went to the bedroom.
He sprinted to the bedroom, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, that first session you all did.
Yeah.
How awkward was it? Because it's the first time. I don't care who you are.
Where's the scale here?
10 being mind-blowing, amazing. 1 is, yikes, that was awful. I don't want to see you, which obviously it wasn't.
I mean, it was like...
It's gotten way better.
Yeah. Okay, where did it start?
It started at probably like a 7 or an 8.
Yeah.
I mean, because... things were real good.
Self-believing can never be wrong.
I was shocked.
Okay.
I was like,
I wasn't.
Oh, that's what you bring into the table.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Oh my. Wait, Andy. When you say that's what you're bringing to the table, like how he was putting it down, or?
I mean, some.
I mean, he's talented.
Huh.
Orally.
Okay.
I'm asking you, babe. It's an uncensored podcast.
I'm so embarrassed.
It's fine. I'm proud of my talents.
You should be.
We have good chemistry.
Good chemistry. But you know what? That's something that is very true, because that's something that my boyfriend and I, the first night that we ever did stuff, and we didn't go all the way, but after we were done, we were like, for a first time, we were like very much in sync, because that really happened to me.
I didn't feel awkward at all. Did you?
I mean, I felt a little weird that I didn't know you very well. I did, but...
Oh, I did a little... I will take that back. A little bit.
Yeah.
It's like... And then you're like, did I do it right? And then I knew I did it right.
Okay.
Okay. Now, here's where I always...
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear. This
okay.
is... Oh, well, he's choking on his... I know at least for gay sex, usually, especially for like that first time, like everyone's so excited, it's all ramped up. And then usually like right in the same time period, you both reach the top of the mountain. And then if it's a hookup, there's that like second when your body calms down and you're like, oh, well, I guess where's my stuff? All right. Well, it was very nice to meet you. What was that moment like?
Do you remember?
No.
I don't really remember. I maybe that has blacked out of my head. I don't know. Because I feel like...
I think she was just blown away that I was able to do what I did.
I think I was. Oh. I don't know. I remember thinking like... Is this going to happen? Is this like a frequent thing that's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And then I worried too, like... In the back of my head, I was kind of like, is this, hopefully this wasn't his goal. Like, because you always get a little nervous after that happens. And I was like, well, hopefully this continues. And I
was
didn't
this
just...
what he was just trying to, was he trying to get into my panties?
Right. And I was, and then of course, you know, because as a woman, like you shouldn't hook up on a second date. So I felt like slight shame that I did that. But it was so good that I was like, well, he had to have thought it was pretty good, I think. So maybe he'll want to do it again.
Did you stay the night, Justin?
No.
No.
He didn't stay the night for a long time because of my daughter. In fact, I mean, we were like weeks into it, and we'd like, he'd come over and we'd like hook up, and I'd make him leave at midnight.
Oh, wow.
Or then we started this thing where he would.
Well, then it was, then it was progressive.
Then we'd start this thing where he would sleep over, but I'd make him leave at 5 a.m. so that my daughter didn't see him. It was very tricky, and he put up with a lot of shit. I'll tell you what. Like, it was many months worth it. Thank you. Because I was like, I can't. So 5 a.m., I'm like, hey, it's really nice. You got to go, though.
That's not true. I set my alarm. I got up myself.
Yeah, you think maybe you did? Yeah.
I'm respectful.
I know. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, I want to fast forward, because that's all fine and dandy, but let's get to real life shit when it starts to get really real.
Sure.
So it's this fall, Thanksgiving time. Everything's great. We're all progressing, getting along, having a great time.
We're going to see Billy Joel in New York.
We were
well on our way. It was going to be an amazing show, just an amazing time together in New York City.
Yeah.
Then what life tends to do is life says, oh, those plans you have? Ha ha! Fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so then that's when your mother found out she fell, the tumor. She's in the hospital. She has surgery. It's crazy. What happens to the relationship? Because I feel like at that point, y'all are at what, the 6-7 months mark? Six month mark?
Seven, maybe. Yeah.
And that's the time where you start to realize, all right, are we going to keep going? Is this getting serious? Or let's just part ways. We had fun. It was a great experience. We're friends. Bye. So now you were dealing with some really real stuff here where Holly is a single parent having to raise a daughter and depending upon her mom to do everything.
Right.
And who has to work early in the morning And now you, Justin, are living on your own, you know, living, well, you're not a single man, but you're living a quote-unquote bachelor life because you're not living with the woman you're dating. And then when things start to change, what was going through your mind at that point, Justin?
I just wanted to do what I could to make things as easy on Holly as possible.
But was it scary?
Not for me. I think it was scary for her.
It was horrifying.
Did you think about the ramifications? Because we're talking about you taking her daughter to school every morning.
That's the life I always wanted to have. So, in a way, me helping Holly during that tough time was self-gratifying. Being able to take care of Maya, assist with things around the house, and start to build a little family. So it was great. I don't regret one thing. And if I had to do it all again, I would have probably done it a lot quicker. I don't know. Like, it was just like, there was no hesitation on my part.
No, which was evident, but I still felt terrible. That's a lot. That's a big ask, you know, someone that you're sort of newly dating. And it's one thing to do it for like maybe once.
Right.
But now suddenly it's like a dependent thing where I'm so used to being independent, or I guess I was so used to being independent and like counting on my mom, because it's almost like your mom has to help you out.
Yeah.
Which she doesn't. And I realize that a lot of people's parents don't. But she's always been like super mom of the loves little kids type thing. So when she was no longer available to do that, I was like, I don't know what do I do. I have absolutely no idea. So like literally, like he said, no question, Justin's like, well, I'll just take her to school. And I was like, oh my God. That's huge. Why would you, like, that's a big responsibility. And right. So it wasn't until he told, because like for a week I was like stressed out about this. I'm like, I feel bad putting this on you. Like, you don't have to, like, we will figure something else out. Like, if you just want to do this for a minute and then we'll figure something out, like, if you can be the patch in the meantime. And it wasn't until he told me what he just said, which is like, he has always wanted that. I was like, oh, I get it. I get you as a human. Like, this is who you are.
I'm not trying to impress you by doing this.
Right.
Even though it was hugely impressive as a byproduct. But like, that's who you are as a human, as a person, as a father, because he has a little girl. So like, I was like, oh, okay. Well, the guilt is gone then. I'm not going to feel guilty about this, because this is something that not only is beneficial to Maya and I, but is helping him be who he's supposed to.
Well, and I think it was at that point too where it became us each living our individual lives, dating each other, to it became our life together.
Yeah, for sure. And it didn't feel bad. I wasn't scared of that. I was scared. Well, it was a little scary, I guess, because it was, I went from not having, I mean, let's be honest, like even in my marriage, I didn't depend on him for anything. No. I was still totally independent. I just ran things for both of us. And then when I had my daughter, I was in charge of all that. And so now it went from me being totally independent to actually doing things with a partner. So it was a little bit, I don't know if scary is the word, but it was,
your new uncharted territory.
Yeah, it was unique.
Yeah, yeah. Different. So I was learning that with you. And I don't know how you felt about that, but I think it was good for you because you wanted something like that always.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we're both financially independent. We could both be independent on our own, but to be together and do it together, gosh, it just makes things a lot easier when you have somebody that you can rely on. So we've realized that we can rely on each other. We make each other laugh. And we have a great life together right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, Justin, as you're making the transition into this and, you know, as you're exploring the situation and you're you know, moving in, essentially taking Maya to school, what was the most challenging part of beginning this process? Because even though, yes, it's something that you want, but like sort of like when we got this job, this job at Hot 101.5 is what I have been working for my entire life. But there were so many challenges when we started, and I didn't feel great in my skin about it until about a year. What were the challenges starting this new life, essentially?
Well, I think the biggest challenge I thought was going to be at home, but it really wasn't. The biggest challenge for me was adjusting to a new schedule at work, because I would go in, I would usually get in between 7:30 and 8, but you know, when you're dropping a child off at school and then you work in New Tampa and it's an hour drive. I don't know why our office is way over there. But it's, you know, I'm getting to work at 8:45. Mm. Well, I have a lot of responsibility put on my shoulders. So I would just have to get to work and hit the ground running. And, you know, I just had to work a lot harder and a lot more efficiently. And I would just eat lunch at my desk, and I just kind of adjusted my lifestyle at work to accommodate the adjustment we made at home. And, it was fine. I mean,
it's stressful for you though. I know it is.
I mean, it was. Now I will say this. November is probably my busiest month of the year.
And that's
so
when everything
all of
went
this
down.
Is going yeah. down. I had been going through, you know, divorce isn't quick, right? You make the decision and then it's like 10 months or it takes or longer. So I had been going through all the divorce stuff. Then all of a sudden I hit my busy season at work, which busy season is great because I'm going to make a shit ton of money, but it's also incredibly stressful. Now all of a sudden we're going on this trip. I'm thinking, yes, we're going to go to New York. I need to get away. I'm burnt out at work. You know, we'll go see Billy Joel. I had it all planned out. I had everything. And then all of a sudden her mom falls. We go to the hospital. We don't know what's going to happen. You call me at work 2 days later and you're like, we can't go. And what was the first thing I said to you? Do you remember?
I don't know the first thing.
I said, okay.
I know.
And I went and rescheduled and canceled everything.
Yes, this bitch is a planner extraordinaire.
We ended up going at the end of December, right before the new year, right before her birthday. And but it was just, everything was changing at that very moment, and I had to make quick decisions that were going to affect all of us for, I wouldn't say the rest of our lives, could be the rest of our lives, but at least for the short term, it was going to change everything. And
are you talking about the trip?
No, I'm talking about taking care of Maya.
Oh,
I'm talking about adjusting my schedule at work. I'm talking about adjusting living with you because I wasn't staying the night every single night. And so everything changed. And I am so glad I made every... And honestly, there's so many decisions you make in life where you look back and you second guess yourself or you regret maybe a decision you made. Every decision I made at that moment was the absolute right decision. And I'm so proud of myself. I'm very pompous, okay? I'm not sure if people realize this. I am very arrogant, but I am so proud of the decisions I made at that moment because I am so at peace and happy with my life at this moment with this woman.
Now, Justin,
yes?
That sounds great. But you also have a whole nother side of you that you have to contend with. What the hell was your family saying? Because I'm thinking if I have a brother or a sister or a child that
a friend
that's like, oh, I'm dating this girl. You know, I'm ending one part of my life and I'm dating this girl. She's great. To literally I get a phone call from you saying, well, I'm moving in with her and I'm taking her daughter to work or to school and I'm sort of changing my schedule. What the hell was your family saying?
Well,
at the time?
There's a timeline with my family too. So My family did not like Holly, I don't think, from the beginning. And it wasn't that they didn't like her. It was they were like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. Like, are you all right? Like, is your head okay?
Because you just made, like, your life literally is making a complete change. Like,
I was just at their house probably a month before, month and a half. No, never mind. It was probably 3 months before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm at their house, and I'm telling them the decision we had made, and...
To get divorced. You know,
to get divorced, and they understood. Because right. they, listen, I after talking to a lot of people, they're like, you guys had nothing in common. And I think even my ex-wife now and I look back and we're like, we had nothing in common.
Right.
But then 3 months later, 3.5 months later, you came to the draft party. That's where you met him for the first time.
I know.
And then we went to their house, and it was like, What is, and it wasn't
his dad walked out of the room.
Yeah.
And his mom basically yelled at me that day. I was mortified because usually parents like me. Not this time.
We just had to give them some time. And I don't want my parents to come across as.
No, they're great.
They're fantastic people. They're just concerned about their son.
I mean, the
and my mental mindset at that time, they're just like, What the fuck is going on?
Yeah. Did they feel like Holly was, I mean, how did they feel about her?
I
didn't know if they thought I was like
a temptress,
a hussy, or like I had maybe been around for longer than they thought and I had like been an influencer.
No, I don't think it was that. I think it was more they just thought I was jumping right back into something when I shouldn't.
I'm sure they wanted him to be single for longer.
Right. Yeah.
I wanted him to be single for longer, okay? Right. Like, when I found out, because when we first started talking, I thought they had been separated longer than they had been.
Mm-hmm.
And so then later when I found out they weren't, I was like, well, no wonder your fucking parents hate me. Like, if it was my brother or my friend in his shoes with some other woman, I would have been like, you're fucking crazy.
Mm.
You are nuts.
Right.
What are you doing? You dumbass. I mean, it was me, so he wasn't a dumbass. But
no, of course.
Like, that's nobody would know that except for us,
right,
who could feel it. But like for someone like his parents, and then I show up at their house, and they're just like, Justin, the paper is not even signed yet. Like, what are you doing? And so I felt so small, and I was just like, we need to leave. Like, I shouldn't even be here. So.
And where was this?
At his parents' house. You're like using their hot tub like it was no big deal. It was a big deal. We should not have gone there.
He's like,
so
are they good now?
Yes. I don't know when that switch flipped, but I do know we all went to dinner one day and his mom had a couple of martinis and she was like, well, I was just, well, I'm not sure if maybe
that was a big dinner. That was the dinner when we went to Salt Rock.
Yeah.
That was, well, I thought that was a big moment for us.
You were a bitch during that dinner.
Oh, I was pissed because I was pissed at how they treated you.
Yeah, they gave me like the third degree. And his mom was like, we're just a little worried that you're a rebound. And I was like, that is valid. That's a valid concern.
Okay.
And so I like just shared my story with them, basically. I was like, let me just explain who I am, because who is this hussy woman coming up in their son's life?
Right.
So I just explained who I was and I'm like, I mean, they're nice people. They're really nice people. But I was like, all I can be is me. And Justin was getting progressively more and more mad. I don't even know what he was mad about. But we start having a good old time. And he's like just stewing. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? I thought it was about his mom was telling him to clean his car or something. But I don't know. So hopefully that helped a little bit. But I don't really know where the actual switch flipped with his parents. But it flipped.
It has.
And they're super accepting now.
Well, it was like a gradual kind of thing, and then we went to my sister's wedding in November, beginning of November, and I mean, I think that's where you won over everyone, because my entire family was there.
I shine.
Okay.
She Ollie. Did.
She's like, well, look at me.
Well, like I said, I know how to work a family. No, I don't. I was just, again,
just
I have
you.
Fun at weddings. Like, I love weddings. I love to have a good time.
Well, and they're it wasn't great. Just her having a good time. I think everyone saw me having a good time. And so many people were going up to her saying, thank you. Like, we haven't seen him like this in years.
It was so weird. Like, everyone's thanking me. And I'm like, I don't know why you're thanking me. Like, okay, for coming? Like, they're like, no, thank you for giving us Justin back.
Oh.
And I was like, that is not me. That's not me. That's him. I'm just glad to be with him in this phase of his life.
Oh. Hmm. As we come to a close, I have to ask this. Justin.
Yes.
Now, obviously, I'm not going to ask you, when are you going to do it? Is it going to be in the time frame? Blah, 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 blah. My question
is... Well, I know what your New Year's resolution was or your New Year's prediction was.
Yeah, my New Year's prediction was that you two would be engaged by the end of 2018. Did you
By the end of the summer, okay?
Did you feel any pressure when I said that on the air back in January?
Little bit.
Now, you do realize that that was just a prediction, that my predictions are usually wrong.
His are always wrong.
Yeah,
but I hate letting people down.
You're not letting
that.
Anybody down. No. You're not letting anyone down. That was just a prediction.
That is silly. That is silly nonsense.
Holly and I have both been married before, and we both have children. I think we both envision this lasting an extremely long time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no reason to rush into something else like that.
So my prediction's going to be wrong for 2018.
I don't know. I don't know.
When do you pull the trigger?
I don't know. I think when I know, I will know. I don't know how to give you a better answer than that.
No, I just love hearing you squirm, that's all. I love making people awkward. That just makes me so happy.
It's not like Holly and I haven't discussed it. Mainly how much stress she's going to be under planning it all.
Is it going to be a big wedding? Is it going to be a small wedding?
I think we'll do something small.
I just
want to have a party.
I know. Like, this is what we discussed. I'm like, if you want to do all this, you're going to plan it. Because
I'm a planner, though. So
yeah, you enjoy that because it was so stressful the first time around. Mm-hmm. Like,
but I don't, I mean... Look, we're already into it. I'm whatever. But I mean, I don't want to do like a whole like cliche thing again, do you?
Not really.
Okay.
But see, here's where we get into trouble. Because like you have like super Catholic parents and so do I. My mom.
Oh, yeah.
So,
this
like,
whole thing.
What are we going to do?
I mean, yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
So, like, do we all have to go get annulments? Are we going to get married in the church? Are we going to get married on the beach and say, to heck with all of our roots? Like, what are we doing? And then, like, for a reception, do you invite all of the families? Or do you just invite some close friends or whatever? Like, there's a lot to consider.
Hmm. That just seems very stressful. We should just hold off then.
Yeah.
Just for the short term.
We should just hold off.
What about a child?
Ooh. All right.
Do you want to say what you said the other day?
Yeah. What did I say the other day?
He goes, well, this was like as we were falling asleep, by the way. He goes, well, I made a decision today.
Oh.
And I go, oh, about what? And he goes, I've decided we're not going to have a child together.
No.
And I go, oh, okay. Like, how are you going to just throw that out dozing off?
And let me just preface it by saying, she has a daughter. I have a daughter. If we have a child together, how are the dynamics going to be to where her daughter and my daughter are? Is that going to make them jealous? I don't know. I don't know. I was just thinking about it one day. I don't know if that's my final decision.
Because then I brought up all these questions and he's like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, I'm just asking questions because I'm glad you decided.
I'm just saying selfishly, I'm not Maya's godparent because Holly has a brother. So I'm just saying this is my last opportunity to be a godparent. So.
Oh.
I'm just putting it out there selfishly.
Okay.
I mean, obviously... I would miss you because you would have to take maternity leave.
I know.
Like, and Lord
so
knows
think
that
about.
We are in a different circumstance than what we were in last time when you were pregnant.
Oh, dear God, though, too, her hormones.
I'm sorry, but of all people, I would think you would be able to handle it.
Oh, I'll handle it.
Okay.
I got a little crazy, but I was also with a person who was absent. Not physically, maybe, but, you know, emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, and then Miguel moved out when I was like 4 months pregnant. So I didn't really. Yeah.
Miguel's like, bye.
Listen, I had to go work, girl. Yeah. I wasn't married. Somebody had to pay my bills, honey.
So, yes. Anyway, I feel like if we ever were to have a kid, which apparently you've decided we're not, you could handle it.
I know I can handle it. But here's the problem. Time is of the essence.
Are you calling
You're
my
old.
Eggs old?
You are old.
You're older than me, bitch.
Okay.
But
okay, y'all can have this argument at home. Final question before we leave.
Another question?
Yes, we do. Actually, here, I want to do it like this. I'm going to ask you a question.
Oh,
but,
Jesus.
But you're both are going to have to leave the studio to do it, and you'll just have to listen to the podcast on your own to hear what each other said.
You're the worst.
I am. Both of you give me all of your social media because we're about to end the podcast.
Okay, mine's Radio Holly on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and you can find me on Facebook at Holly on Hot 101.5.
Justin?
Mine is at Commish Online on Twitter and Instagram. And Jay Pulowski 324 on Snapchat.
Girl, what the fuck? You gotta get one piece of branding together.
I can't change it now either. Nobody uses Snapchat anymore anyway.
It's fine. You can just go ahead and delete that. It's done with pretty much. I'm like about 1 foot out the door.
I know.
All right, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. Justin, leave the studio.
Oh, I really have to leave?
Yes.
This is not radio magic.
I thought it was like theater of the mind.
No, girl. We don't around here.
No. When we do things, we do it.
Fine. You better answer this correctly.
I know. I'm nervous.
That's like when I gave my phone number out and everyone at corporate was like, we could have just given you a different cell phone.
And then we were like, thanks for that.
Bitch, I don't play. Mm-hmm. Holly.
What?
How do you feel?
Good. I feel bad. Like we didn't talk about you at all just now.
This wasn't about me. This podcast was not about me.
It could have been about you a little bit.
I know. This was a vehicle to dig in deep and understand how you two work together.
Oh, okay. Well, then I loved it. I was nervous when he got here.
You feel better now?
Yeah.
Two questions.
Okay.
What is the thing that you wish you could change about Justin?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could take some of his anxieties away. Not that I wish he didn't have them, because I don't mind going through what he goes through, because he has some anxiety that he deals with.
Mm-hmm.
But I know how hard of a toll it takes on him, and I wish I could lift it. Like, I wish I could give him peace.
Mm.
I wish I could, like, avatar him, like, with my ponytail braid. Mm-hmm. I wish I could, like, stick it in there and, like, calm him down sometimes and just take that worry away. Because sometimes, you know, the worry, it doesn't help anything. And then, you know, he is stressed out for a day, and I wish I could just take that. Not that I would change him in the way that, like, oh, I wish he didn't have it. No, I wish he didn't have it for himself, like, so that he could be free of that.
What do you love about him the most?
His depth.
Mm.
He's deep. He's deep like an ocean. He is emotional. He is understanding of my emotional needs. He's not afraid to get down deep into the feels of why we feel what we do. We can talk about literally everything. I love that he gets me. He understands who I am on that deep level. So his depth, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he just, I mean, you heard what he said about, like, stepping up and being with Maya and all this stuff. Like, I don't know how I got so lucky.
Thank you, Holly. Exit the room.
Oh, God. Okay, I'll just be over here.
Oh, I love this so much. Oh, by the way, as we're closing out, you can get Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com. You can download the free Hot 101.5 app. Sit in Holly's seat, please, right there. Or you can also get it on iTunes. You can, on the little podcast app, just type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored and just make sure to rate and subscribe and tell somebody about it. Share it on your Twitter. Share it somewhere and let your friends know. Justin, two questions for you. If you could change one thing about Holly, what would it be?
If I could change one thing about Holly, I wish that she would be more accepting to somebody that is wanting to take care of her. She's always been the one taking care of somebody else, and I think sometimes she struggles allowing me to take care of her. So
I've been with her for 10 years and she still questions me when I help her out.
I know, it's okay.
I'm like, bitch, I live with you, I know you, stop
it. I know.
Okay, final question. What do you love most about Holly?
I have all these things going through my mind. I love the way she loves me. And it's not how she shows it. It's that she loves me, like the actual person I am. I don't have to be different around her. I don't know. I mean, I can't think of a time where I've felt so comfortable around somebody else, whether it was friends or girlfriends or my ex-wife. I mean, I feel so comfortable around her, and that just makes me feel incredible every single day. So that's it.
That's perfect.
Okay, good.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.